Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Cuts in on the right foot.
Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Welcome in, everybody. We have one semifinal booked at this World Cup, and we're going to find out who's coming to Atlanta tomorrow. Doubleheader of quarterfinals, and they are spicy. We'll get into that. We will get into what happened today here in just a second. We'll have your 3-4-3 as we always do. We're getting into the business end of this tournament. There's only a handful of games left at this point. And one of the teams that I had on the island of favorites, they had to sweat today, but they survived it. Spain, that was my pick coming into the tournament. They survived. It wasn't pretty, and maybe there are more questions about Spain, but one question that is answered is that Belgium's golden generation is pretty much saying goodbye at this point. We'll get into that. We'll get into the Mikel Merino magic. We'll get into the rematch between Spain and France because they got history. We'll talk about Luis de la Fuente, who is now unbeaten in 13 straight major tournament matches. Nobody has been there before for Spain. And then we'll get to tomorrow in the next segment. Norway against England in Miami and Argentina against Switzerland in Kansas City. The winners coming here to Atlanta on Wednesday of next week. All right, let's talk about Spain. 2-1 winners in Los Angeles over Belgium. Two most talented teams, I think, are Spain and France. Overall talent, depth of talent, I think those are your best two teams in terms of the roster sheet. They're going to play each other in Dallas on Tuesday. Luis de la Fuente made a really bold call in this one. He sat Pedri and he started Fabian Ruiz. Paid off almost immediately. Ruiz slammed home a rebound in the 30th minute. Dani Olmo's shot was saved. Belgium answered in the 41st, though. A three-man situation. Kevin De Bruyne, his one-touch pass sent Timothy Castagne away. That cross from Castagne found Charles de Ketelaere. He beat Cubarsí in the air, the teenage center back for Spain, who's been great in this tournament. And De Ketelaere gets the goal. That's the first goal Spain's conceded in the entire tournament. It ended a World Cup record of 649 consecutive minutes without conceding for Unai Simón, the goalkeeper for Spain. That went all the way back to the final group match of the last World Cup. So 1-1, Ruiz, the bold move to start him paid off. I didn't think he started the tournament well. I thought Spain had kind of found a midfield that worked with Rodri and Pedri and Dani Olmo. But, you know, you get to the stage of the tournament, and sometimes you have to shake things up just to shake things up. Sometimes you got to manage minutes and workload, especially as the games get a little more compressed right now. It worked out perfectly for De La Fuente. It's also worked out having a super sub. Mikel Merino, he came on in the 86th minute for Dani Olmo. 2 minutes later, he gets the winner. Now, Belgium had to make a goalkeeper change. And this has become a little bit of an interesting thing with some comments that came out afterwards. There was an incident where Thibaut Courtois, it looked like a quadriceps injury when he went down and looked like he grabbed his quad. I didn't think it was the hamstring. He says afterwards that he wanted to continue. His quote, and again, this is translated, "I wanted to stay on, but the gaffer said that if I wasn't at 100%, he would take me off. In the end, the coach decided to take me off. Courtois said no problem because the team comes before everything." Well, Sene Lammens, he came on, the Manchester United goalkeeper. He could not hold Pau Cubarsí's low shot, the center back from Spain. As Spain was just pinning Belgium in deeper and deeper and deeper, Cubarsí steps up, takes the shot. And Lammens, it's not an easy shot to hold, but it's one that you have to. And if you're worried about not being able to hold it, you have to push that wide. He didn't do either. He ends up spilling it in front of him. Merino pounces on it, puts it home in the 88th minute. Third time Mikel Merino has scored a knockout stage winner for Spain. The 119th minute goal against Germany at Euro 2024, the 91st minute winner against Portugal earlier in the week, and now this one. Merino, he sounded stunned afterwards. He's like, "I don't even know what to say. I can't believe it myself." De La Fuente was asked afterwards about how he manages a squad with this kind of depth. And he, you know, talked about it with Merino. He's like, "It's unfair that Mikel doesn't play from the start. But who's he going to play for? That's the thing." And I think we see this with France. We see this with Spain. We see this with Argentina and the way that Lionel Scaloni manages his roster with a really good bit of rotation. Thomas Tuchel, I think, manages his roster with a little more ruthlessness. But yeah, these are all guys who have very deep rosters. The lineup doesn't necessarily pick itself. And you have to try to keep everybody engaged. Because if you get into a tournament like this, you're going to need more than 11 guys to contribute. You're going to need like 20. You have 26 in the roster, but you're going to need subs to come in and impact games. We'll talk about how that's been a very important trend in this tournament, something that we predicted beforehand. You're going to need cover for injuries, and you're going to need some guys that maybe don't play big minutes, but are important in the locker room, important in the day-to-day, and important to have in the group. It is a chemistry thing for a lot of teams that go this deep. And De La Fuente, he manages that chemistry, and he manages things really, really well for Spain. Let's go to the Belgium side of things. This was likely the last World Cup for four mainstays who have been together since the 2014 tournament in Brazil. Thibaut Courtois is one of them, Romelu Lukaku, Kevin De Bruyne, and Axel Witsel. Belgium was missing Amadou Onana, who tore his ACL against the U.S. in the round of 16. Yuri Tielemans was scratched with a groin injury in the warm-up. Courtois went out in the 71st minute with the quadriceps injury. He, again, says he wanted to stay on. He could still make saves. He just couldn't kick the ball long. And Rudy Garcia, the manager, decided to not risk it. It was his 21st World Cup appearance tonight, Courtois. Second most ever for a goalkeeper behind Germany's Manuel Neuer. Afterwards, he said, I want to rest for a year without any Belgium matches. We'll see if that means he's not coming back at all. Rudy Garcia, he was sad after the elimination. He said, I'm disappointed for those that maybe might not come back with the national team. I'm really curious to see where this goes with Courtois and Garcia and the Belgian media, because pretty interesting for him to say that he didn't want to come out. There is a couple of things to take away from this for Belgium. Not a great tournament for them in terms of the first, in terms of the group stage performance and even the first 80 minutes or so against Senegal. But then they turned that game around with a historic win. They comprehensively beat the U.S., and they battled Spain. So getting to the quarterfinal for Belgium, just like I talked about with the U.S., and I think this is important, and it's really maddening to see as we're even further away from the game, the takes continue to get further away from reality about the U.S. men's national team. The U.S. was ranked number 16 in the FIFA rankings. You can quibble about, you know, where that could be realistically, anywhere between 12 and 20. But 16 feels about right. They went out in the round of 16. The round of 16 is called the round of 16 because there's 16 teams in it. Ranked number 16, you can do the math, I think. Belgium was ranked number 8. Quarterfinals have 8 teams in it. They were ranked number 8. They got about where they should get. Maybe it wasn't the most glorious route to get there for them. But they got it done. They got to the quarterfinal. They got about as far as they could, and they couldn't bridge the gap to get to that next group. And that's been a really big thing for me in this tournament. I think the tiers are very well established when you look at them, and you can see these gaps between the best 8 and the best 16. That first 8 and second 8, it's a difference. The top 4 and then the next 4 of the top 8. There's a difference. Belgium has never been able to consistently be in that top 4. They were ranked there in the FIFA rankings a while back, and it was always really weird. They've gotten to the quarterfinals consistently. They've made this run consistently. They haven't been able to go past it consistently. And that's just, I think, where this team is. The golden generation didn't quite come out as golden as you thought it was going to. De Ketelaere finished as the joint top scorer with 3 goals. Lukaku off the bench with 3 goals as well. Tielemans scored twice in that comeback win over Senegal. But the generation has changed. You know, you've got some of these core golden generation guys that are probably done with the national team, but 13 of 25, or 13 squad members of 26 players, so half, are 25 years or younger. So you've got a generation coming. Belgium will be interesting to see. I don't know if you have any De Bruyne's or Lukaku's or Courtois in that next group, or Witzel's for that matter. Witzel's been a little bit further removed from the elite level for a minute. But do you have replacements for those 4 and what they've been in their run? I don't know, even though you've got some interesting young talent like a Jeremy Doku. All right, let's look ahead to Spain and France. That is semifinal number 1 on Tuesday. It is also Bastille Day. The French are very excited about having a World Cup semifinal on Bastille Day. France beat Morocco 2-0 on Thursday. Mbappe and Dembele with the goals. Third straight semifinal for France. Both Mbappe and Aurélien Tchouaméni, who missed the Morocco match with an adductor injury, they are both expected to be fit. And this isn't a kind of new meeting between these two teams. France won the last competitive meeting between these two before this recent stretch. So going back to the games they've had here lately, they won that 2-1 in the 2021 Nations League. Since then, Spain has owned the series. A 2-1 comeback win in the Euro 2024 semifinal in Munich. That was the last time these teams met in a semifinal. And then a crazy 5-4 win in last year's Nations League semifinal. Nations League's a not quite as high level of a competition, but you still got it done there, Spain, 5-4. Spain led 5-1 at one point. France nearly came all the way back from that. Their only previous World Cup meeting was 2006, 3-1 win for France. Lamine Yamal was asked about it after Spain's win. He said, if France should fear anyone, it's us. French media had some things to say about that. I probably shouldn't repeat them to start an international incident. France has conceded just 2 goals in 6 matches. Spain has conceded just 1. Both defensively have been excellent. The French back line have started calling themselves the bad guys because Diop and Meccano and William Saliba have been brilliant in this tournament. On the Spain side, Pau Cubarsí is a teenager and he doesn't play like it. They've been brilliant. Spain defends a little bit more by keeping the ball. France can do both. They can keep possession, but they can also just defend and defend well. There's also the golden boot race that's going to hang over what comes for the rest of this tournament. Mbappe, Messi, they're both tied at the top with 8 goals each. Mbappe has 3 assists. Erling Haaland, who plays tomorrow night, he's at 7. Harry Kane, who plays tomorrow night, is at 6. So the golden boot race is going to be fun to watch. This semifinal between France and Spain, watching the media hype continue to build for it is going to be fun. Tomorrow is going to be a wild ride. England plays Norway in Miami at 5 o'clock. Argentina plays Switzerland in Kansas City at 9. We'll get ready for those 2 games on the other side. What to expect, who to watch, all the key storylines coming into those remaining 2 quarterfinals. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really. Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
To our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Let's get into what's on tap here on AST. 2 more quarterfinals to go. Those are tomorrow night. What's on tap? It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. The winners of tomorrow night's matches are coming to Atlanta on Wednesday. And there is one matchup that I assume a lot of business leaders in Atlanta would like to have, and that would be the 2 favored teams in these matches, England and Argentina, because hotel rooms will be at a premium. Bars and restaurants will be very full. It will be a wild time. Don't discount Norway, though. I'm seeing some videos of the Norwegians taking over South Beach, which is just a fascinating combination of cultures right now. Norway and England play tomorrow night at 5, and then Switzerland trying to be the real upset special to beat Argentina in Kansas City. Switzerland is another team that has not maybe had the best of World Cups, but they're here, and they've got an opportunity against an Argentina team that has had to go to the limit in both of their knockout round games just to get to this point. England has to come in to face Norway, who Norway handled Brazil pretty comfortably. England had to sweat at the Estadio Azteca and play at altitude, and I'm curious to see how they look tomorrow night. Let's start with that one since it's the first game. 5 o'clock in Miami. First ever World Cup quarterfinal for Norway. A nation of almost 5.5 million people. They had not even qualified for a World Cup since 1998. They hadn't qualified for a European Championships since 2000. So this generation has zero experience playing in games like this at the national team level. Somebody like Erling Haaland, Martin Odegaard, they've played big, big games before. But as a national team, they have not. Haaland has been brilliant here. He scored in all four of Norway's matches up to this point. He's got 7 goals in total. He's found the net in 14 straight competitive appearances for his country. Haaland, let me rephrase. He scored in all of Norway's matches, but the France game, which is actually looking really, really interesting at this point. Because if you remember, and I didn't like it at the time, Norway basically punted on winning the group. They rotated everybody for their group stage match against Norway. They were already, or against France. They were already booked to go into the knockout round. That was already sealed. But they didn't go to win the group. And I didn't really like it at the time. I thought it was going to send a bad message. I thought it kind of gave you a bad impression just thinking they couldn't win that game. But it helps you in a situation like this because England had to go deep to get past DR Congo here in Atlanta. Remember, England was losing that midway through the second half. Then they had to go to Mexico City, and that was tough. And they had to finish that with 10 and just hold off Mexico and deal with the altitude and deal with the travel. So essentially, Norway has played one less game because their main players have played one less game. That could come in handy late in this game tomorrow night. It really could. So Haaland has found the net in 14 straight competitive appearances for his country. Now, Ståle Solbakken, the manager for Norway, he said it's not a shootout here between Erling Haaland and Harry Kane. These are complete teams. And Norway is a very, very good team. You might not know the Norwegian group as much, again, because they haven't been in these competitions in a long time. I mean, we're going back to Tor Andre Flo, if you remember him, from the Norwegian group that played in the World Cup in 94 and in 98. This group has been close for a while, and they finally got over the hump, but Haaland, Odegaard, Sørloth, Ayer in the back, the center back. I really like Antonio Nusa on the wing. He's impressed me in this tournament. He had a goal in the win over Cote d'Ivoire. He is a different kind of player than the rest of that front line. Sørloth is really more of a striker, but he plays out wide on the right in the Norwegian team because you're not displacing Erling Haaland. Odegaard is completely free to be the playmaker, to be that guy who drives the midfield forward. I think he's been good in this tournament. Nusa could be the wild card, especially going up against the right side of England, because that's been an issue for the entire tournament. No Jarrell Kwanzaa. He is suspended for 2 games after the horrendous studs-up tackle in the Mexico game that We kind of went off the reservation a little bit in terms of the takes on this. We got out of control with some of these takes of the Kwanzaa challenge being the same as the Folarin Balogun challenge. And I even saw people trying to compare Lionel Messi accidentally stepping on somebody as the same thing. I know we like hyperbole in our soccer talk. I get it. I understand. But when you're treating it as serious, you can't watch that challenge and act like he should be cleared to play in the next game. It's one of the worst tackles I've seen in a long time. Launched straight leg studs up into the shin. It's really bad. It's 2-game suspension. Like, no question about it. So now England's got to figure out the right side again. Jed Spence likely going to come back in. I didn't think he was great in the DR Congo match. We'll have to see what this looks like. The other injury issues for England. Reece James did train, so maybe he plays it right back. Mark Gahey, there were concerns about him. He should be okay. Declan Rice, there's been a lot of concerns about him. He's been battling a hamstring injury. He was sick as well. He should be okay. They all trained on Friday. They're all in line to play. Jordan Henderson, not going to play. Broken arm in the celebrations in Mexico. Yeah, nice contribution to the tournament for Jordan Henderson. Falling over the signboards after celebrating. Yeah, not a great situation. Ezri Konsa had to play on the right side at the end of that England-Mexico game. He is a possibility if you want to do that and you want to play John Stones as a center back. Again, assuming Mark Gahey is going to be okay. That's a lot of questions on the England side. They're real, but you also have a lot of quality. And you look at what Jude Bellingham has done in the knockout rounds. You look at what Harry Kane has done in the knockout rounds. You look at what Anthony Gordon has done. And I think Gordon has been the player that's really made this England group go in the last couple of games. He came off the bench against DR Congo and helped turn that game around, assisting on both goals. He was relentless with his running from minute one to minute, however many minutes of stoppage time they played, I think about 10. So minute 100. He was all over that left side to the point that Javier Aguirre cursed at him jokingly, which is one of the funnier moments of the tournament if you haven't seen the video, especially with the fake voice dubbed in. It's not going to be easy for England tomorrow. It's not. Harry Kane, if he plays, and he will tomorrow, he will equal Wayne Rooney's England record of 120 caps as a non-goalkeeper. He also waved off the comparisons to Erling Haaland. He's very generous. Harry Kane knows how to play the media perfectly. Thomas Tuchel was very direct about what Kane means to this team. He said he decides all the matches for us. Now, there is some history between Haaland and Bellingham. Beyond tomorrow's storyline, they were teammates at Borussia Dortmund from 2020 to 2022. They won the German Cup together. They've swapped goal celebrations for years. Bellingham's copied Haaland's pose, the meditation one. Haaland has mimicked Bellingham's soldier march. They're good friends. Their former old club chairman, he said they both had great self-confidence and constantly tried to help each other. All right, let's go to Kansas City, Argentina, and Switzerland. 9 p.m. kick. This one will be fascinating because Argentina is a huge favorite, but they've also struggled in the knockout round. They struggled to get past Cabo Verde. That needed extra time. They struggled to get past Egypt. That needed a historic comeback. Switzerland, though, will be without Johan Manzambi, their top attacking player, the young attacker, is out. That was confirmed in the pregame press conference. He's also potentially on the move to Newcastle, which would be a great signing for Newcastle United. Mirat Yakin confirmed that Manzambi will not be available at all. Said he cannot play tomorrow. We tried everything, but he hasn't received medical clearance. Yakin also was asked directly about the accusations from Egypt mostly, and also some other people who are getting into silly season in terms of their takes and listening to complaints about the officiating in the tournament or where it comes to Argentina games. Yeah, it is a conspiracy theory. Yes, there are tinfoil hats involved. Yakin shut that down without hesitation, as have any reasonable person talking about it, to be clear. He said, what I think is that the matches are being very fair. Now, Switzerland, you're looking at Denis Zakaria. He called Argentina the best team in the world, but he said that the Swiss have identified some real spaces to attack. And if you've watched the Cabo Verde and Egypt games, yes, there are spaces to attack in this Argentina team. I think Argentina's got a heart and a spirit that is very hard to overcome, but they're not a perfect team by any stretch. I don't think they're as good defensively as they were back in 2022. And they're different in the attack. And I think Lionel Scaloni is maybe still trying to figure out what that looks like with Lautaro Martinez, with Julian Alvarez, figuring out where best to deploy Messi. It ended up being out wide on the right in the late stretches against Egypt. I think Switzerland will push them. It won't be easy here at all. The question will be for the Swiss, and we already saw a couple players very excited to get to this point. Very excited to play Messi and the defending champions and sharing social media messages about that. And that has to concern you a little bit, I think, if you're Murat Yakin, the manager, if you're Swiss fans, because does it feel like job done to get to the quarterfinal for Switzerland because of that feeling? I said this when Canada and Jesse Marsh basically were like, okay, well, we won a knockout game. So I think he said that the Morocco game was a free hit for them. Basically, like you're playing with house money. You can't go into a match that way, because then it becomes very easy if you're in the situation that Argentina was in against Egypt, where you're down two with 12 minutes to go of, we tried. That's cool. We'll be okay. That mentality is important. I do agree with Zeki Amdouni, with everybody from Switzerland who's talked about this, what Zakaria said. There is space to attack. Now, they also have to go for however long the whistle is going to go in this game. You got to play for 100 minutes and probably more, because this Argentina team has shown that they are very hard to kill off. Messi's also got history against Switzerland. His first career hat trick came against Switzerland in a friendly back in 2012. Argentina eliminated the Swiss from the 2014 World Cup. Messi has scored in 11 straight matches. He's either scored or assisted between Inter Miami and with the national team. 14 goals and 8 assists in those 11 matches. He is 4 matches from tying his own career record of 15 straight, which he did back in 2011 at Barcelona. Argentina did talk about the spaces that they're leaving and the goals that they're giving up. Their defenders talked about that needs to change and they have to work together better. Lisandro Martinez said, we need to be a little more focused. We don't like conceding goals. We've seen some rotation at the fullback position too. And I thought in the game here against Egypt, Nicolas Taliafico was so important from his left back position, because Argentina essentially played 4 central midfielders and they needed width. And it was Taliafico who was making the runs in behind to open things up on the attacking side. But because he was getting forward and attacking, that meant there was some space behind. What direction is Scaloni going to go in terms of managing that space? But here's what matters for those of us here in Atlanta. The winner of Norway and Egypt meets the winner of Argentina and Switzerland Wednesday, July 15th, right here in Atlanta. The second semifinal, the second biggest game in the tournament. All eyes in the world will be on Atlanta on Wednesday. And we're going to find out tomorrow night who will be here to contest that semifinal. All right, coming up next, we always close with a little bit of structure. It's the 3-4-3. 3 players to watch tomorrow, 4 headlines, and 3 things that make me smile on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
With a bit of structure.
Shot! Goal! Goal! Goal!
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Y'all know how we close out the show around here. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three players to watch tomorrow, four headlines, and three things that make me smile. Let's talk about the player side of things. We have to talk about three guys that all are in the golden boot race here. Let's start with the striker matchup in game one. Erling Haaland, 7 goals in 4 matches. He's got a scoring streak that has run 14 straight competitive appearances for Norway. He is maybe more than anybody else, and I know Messi's part of this conversation too, but to me, Haaland is the most important single player to any of the teams left and any of the teams playing tomorrow. Harry Kane's very important to England. Messi's obviously very important to Argentina. Even France and Spain, I don't think there's one guy that is like Erling Haaland. Even Kylian Mbappe, because Ousmane Dembele is pretty good. Erling Haaland is the most important player for Norway. He has to do what he's done. And look, he's done it consistently. He's shown up. And the club experience is a big part of this. He's been in these kinds of games. He knows a lot of these guys from England, which is going to help Norway. But here's the flip side. The back line for England, the guys who are going to be tasked with defending Erling Haaland, they're also not going to be too shaken up either. They know how difficult it is, but a lot of them have experience in trying to shut him down previously. Number two on players to watch, we'll go to the other side of that matchup, Harry Kane. He is 1 goal behind Erling Haaland in the Golden Boot race. His own manager says that he decides matches by himself. But I think what's happened for Harry Kane, which has helped him, is now he's got a running buddy in Jude Bellingham in terms of importance for this team. And he's got somebody providing great service in Anthony Gordon. But let's talk about Bellingham first when it comes to making Harry Kane better. I worried for England that they were missing a creator with Cole Palmer not in this team, with Phil Foden not in this team. You needed somebody to step up and play provider. And I think both Gordon and Bellingham have done it, but Bellingham has really been the second guy in this group. If Harry Kane's Batman, Jude Bellingham is Robin. And that's okay. I think Jude showed that he could be Batman sometimes down in Mexico City, because he was brilliant in the two goals, especially the second one, really quick. His movement on the first one was great. Harry Kane, you know what you're going to get. He's going to score goals. He's going to create space and opportunities for others as well. He is a complete number nine. He's got more support than Erling Haaland. England should win this match if they are fit enough to do so. The injuries are going to be a concern for England. The fatigue, potentially, coming out of Mexico could be a concern. England should take care of business. I think they have more than enough to do it. And I really look at guys like Gordon and Saka out wide. I think Thomas Tuchel has gotten that right as of late. Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice, set piece delivery, huge. You just want your back line to be okay in this. You've got to contain Haaland as best as you can, but you have more talent going up against Norway's back line. I think England's back line and Norway's back line are the weaker parts of their teams. I think England can do more to hurt Norway than Norway can do to hurt England. I think England will get through this, but I don't think it's going to be easy. Harry Kane's probably going to be a big part of that. And if we're talking about players to watch tomorrow, you have to include Lionel Messi. He is tied for the Golden Boot lead in goals scored. He is scoring or assisting consistently at club, country, anywhere. He's on fire right now. And he's still doing it at 39 years old, somehow. You can't purely make a game plan to deal with him. And I've seen these conversations being had. You can't man mark him. I think you sacrifice too much of your team, and Argentina has too many other good players to deal with to be able to deal with a 10v10 matchup in other parts of the field. But also, when people do try to mark Lionel Messi, they still lose him. He's so good at manipulating space. What you have to try to do is what Egypt did for a long portion of the match. You've got to condense the space around the top of the 18 to about 25 to 30 yards away from goal. So it's about a, let's say, 10 to 15 yard section in the middle. You've got to condense that. You've got to make it crowded. You've got to make it difficult for Lionel Messi to get there and find it. The other thing that Argentina does so, so well is the little 1-2s in those tight spaces. Even if it's crowded, they're still going to try to play through it, and they're still going to try to combine to get through those crowds. You've got to be ready for those little quick 1-2s and try to throw it off, try to intervene. I'm not sure how Switzerland hurts Argentina in this game. Brillo Mbolo, good striker. Ruben Vargas, good winger on the left. Granit Xhaka can be a problem. But I think Argentina can handle that. Now, they've got to be careful about the spacing. And that's going to be the key for Lionel Scaloni and how he creates this game plan. If he goes with Taliafico and Gonzalo Montiel, who have both been really good fullbacks in the attacking third, are you going to have enough defensively, or are you going to need Leandro Paredes to make another historic defensive play at times to clean things up? Need a little more structure defensively, Argentina. We'll see if they can find that against Switzerland. All right, four headlines from all over. Let's start with number one. Luis de la Fuente, the longest run of being unbeaten in World Cup and European Championship matches as Spain's manager. Luis de la Fuente with 13 straight. I know Spain hasn't been what we maybe thought they would be coming into the tournament, but they're in the semifinal. And to be there and maybe having not played your best soccer, you have to give the manager a lot of credit. I think De La Fuente's had to make some tough decisions because of injury with Lamine Yamal, getting him back into form, Nico Williams as well. Some tough decisions in terms of how who you play in that midfield. He talked about it when he was here in Atlanta. He's got so many midfielders, it's not always easy to find the best fit. And sometimes that best fit changes, and sometimes it's a little bit matchup dependent. We'll see once they get to the semifinal who they go with in the midfield. You know Rodri's going to play, but is Dani Olmo? Is Fabian Ruiz? Is Pedri? Does Gavi get into that mix? A lot of different options. Number two on the headlines, the golden generation of Belgium, Courtois, Lukaku, Witsel, De Bruyne, likely all played their last World Cup match tonight. Courtois said he wants to take a year off, maybe comes back for European qualifying. He's the youngest of that group. I can't imagine Lukaku, De Bruyne, Witsel back in 4 years. Maybe they make a run for the Euros. You're starting to see that a little bit more. It used to be guys would retire at the end of a World Cup cycle. Now you're seeing guys stick around for the two-year interval and go at it one more time in a continental championship. We'll see if Belgium does. Rudy Garcia, I think, will have every opportunity to be in charge of the group, and we'll see what choices he makes. Number three on the headlines, a lot of late drama in this tournament, and we talked about this coming into it. I remember me and Madison Cruz having a deep conversation about this. There would be a lot of goals late. There would be a lot of impact from substitutes. Both are coming to fruition. 19.4% of all goals so far in this tournament, almost 1 in 5, have come from substitutes. The highest share in tournament history. Romelu Lukaku, he's been great coming off the bench. He's been, I think he scored in 3 straight games leading up to this one. It didn't get a goal in this time. It's been huge. And I think you've also seen just a lot of late goals in general in this tournament. You've seen a lot of games decided in the last 15 minutes. There's a few reasons for that. I think the fatigue of a long season is affecting things defensively a little bit. I think the 5 substitutions has become something that managers now use a little more strategically as opposed to just subbing guys when they're tired. I think it's made the games better. And yeah, cover your ears if you're angry about it. The hydration breaks. They've made these games better. They've made players be a little bit fresher late in games. I think it's helped the tournament. It's helped the quality of play. It's helped us see more goals, especially late. And number four on the headlines. This ended yesterday, Morocco being eliminated. That was the last African team standing. They didn't get a team to the Final Four this time after Morocco made it in the last World Cup, but 9 of 10 African qualifiers for the tournament. So 10 of the 48 were from Africa. 9 of those 10 reached the knockout rounds. Morocco and Egypt got the furthest getting to these stages. DR Congo showed really well against England. Cabo Verde showed really well against Argentina. A lot of great stories for African teams at this World Cup. And I hope, because I said it during late in the group stage, I felt like this was a tournament that was really becoming Africa's World Cup. And maybe that quieted down a little bit after you didn't get as many teams deeper into the knockouts. But I really hope that we see more attention paid to African football. You know, Cabo Verde is a prime example. If you were watching World Cup qualifiers, if you were watching what they've done when they've been to the African Cup of Nations before, you knew they were going to be a team to pay attention to. They've surprised, I think, almost everybody, even people who did know them. But there were too many people who just thoroughly dismissed them. Same with DR Congo. Those were two teams that I saw coming into this tournament that I was so impressed with. And they lived up to it in the tournament. I think DR Congo getting the draw with Portugal, the win over Uzbekistan here in Atlanta, and then taking England to the absolute limit. I thought DR Congo was so good in that game, and ultimately Harry Kane and Anthony Gordon turn it around. All right, 3 things that make me smile. We'll stay on the African teams for a second, and we'll stay with Cabo Verde. Vozinha, everybody's favorite 40-year-old goalkeeper. A biologist in the Caribbean named a newly discovered sea slug species after Vocinia. He's calling it Aedesa vocinia, a red-colored nod to the fact that his heroics came against Spain, nicknamed La Roja. So Vocinia has now had a sea slug species named after him. He's also going to be at a Fanatics Fest, which I saw. He's becoming a big-time star, and he doesn't have a club for the fall yet. I know there were some rumors about Miami being interested, but that doesn't make any sense. Miami spent a lot of money to bring in Dane St. Clair. I don't think they're going to move on from that for a 40-year-old goalkeeper. But there's other teams that need a goalkeeper, maybe not for a long time, but maybe for a year or two. Vocinia would not be a bad solution. So I'm really curious to see where he ends up. Number two, another one that made me smile that I saw in the headlines. According to Peru's civil registry, 468 newborns have been given the surname Haaland this year. Another 91 have the full name Erling Haaland, inspired by this Norwegian run, and maybe they're Manchester City fans as well. A lot of kids in Peru are going to get looked at very strangely being named after a Norwegian, because Erling Haaland is going to stand out a little bit in Peru. Fascinating stuff. And number three, I mentioned it before, Haaland and Jude Bellingham. It's really cool to see like these two guys who I think at times, you know, Haaland has maybe found his kind of goofy sense of humor a little bit. Jude Bellingham, I mean, I remember Thomas Tuchel's mother talking about Jude Bellingham and his attitude not being great, which was a really crazy subplot coming into this tournament. But they're really good friends, and Borussia Dortmund just shared a social media post about their bromance. And you know, these two guys are goofy around one another. They've been trading goal celebrations. They text all the time. They're very close, and they will absolutely clobber each other tomorrow if needed, and they will kick each other tomorrow if needed, and then they will hug it out afterwards. Because that's the kind of situations we get in a World Cup when friends have to go up against one another in the biggest game of their professional lives. We saw it with Kylian Mbappe and Achraf Hakimi. You're going to see it tomorrow with Jude Bellingham and Erling Haaland. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Friday night. Tomorrow, the doubleheader, Norway and England at 5, Argentina and Switzerland at 9. The winners come to Atlanta on Wednesday. I will be with you from 9 to 11. And if you know me and you know how I feel about Argentina, yes, I will probably be losing my mind on the radio tomorrow night. If that entertains you, I'll be with you from 9 to 11 tomorrow. Adios, everybody.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.